Good morning. Hallelujah. So everybody just say a big Jesus with me. And Jesus! There we go. That always helps. Get you shifted just a little bit. Hallelujah. Sharon's with us. Hallelujah, Jesus. I wanted to share something neat with you guys this morning, and you're hearing the results of it already. The echo. Hallelujah. I wanted to honor Sharon because, you know, she's been with us for a long time. And she searches after the heart of God. She's always one who's looking to find what God is doing and identifying that and speaking it out prophetically. You know, I worked for her for a period of time, and during that time, she began to correct a lot of the things that I said because there was a twist of things that began to be straightened out. Because she would say, Chuck, is that the confession you really want to make? And you know, not everybody would do that. Not everybody would do that. So there's an atmosphere of love and joy that just pervades when she ministers. And so I want us all to be able to partake of that. And I want to welcome Sharon here this morning, if you're ready. Hallelujah. And I just want to welcome somebody who has definitely earned the heart of God. All right. God bless you.
Father, we come before you this morning, and we pray that you will electrify our spirits with your spirit, with your power, with your might. Lord, I thank you that we are eternal beings, that we are speaking beings in a physical body. And Father, we pray that your power and might would manifest this morning, would manifest this day. Father, we pray for the downloading of success into our lives, the downloading of your peace, the downloading of your joy, the downloading of the promises of God. Father, we thank you that 2013 is the greatest year of our lives so far. It's a year of increase, a year of favor, a year of promotion, a year of divine turnaround for those that will receive it. Father, we praise you. We bless you. We magnify your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was meditating on what to minister this morning, I have been ministering a lot about the love of God. Because out of all the things that God says that we should pursue in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 14:1, in the Amplified Version, it says, make love your highest quest in life. And I remember hearing Bob Jones share when he actually died, in this case, and he went up to heaven. And you know how God gives everybody a different experience when they go to heaven, depending on their calling. Well, when he was standing in heaven and he was waiting in line, there was only just a short line for the people that were in the line for heaven. But the line for the people that were going to hell was very long. And that's why he asked the Lord to come back. In the line going to heaven, the Father had one question to ask them. And guess what that question was? That's right. Did you learn how to love? In this life, we are here for a purpose. We're here to be the manifested sons and daughters of God. And it says in 1 Corinthians 13 that we can prophesy we can have faith that can move mountains. But if we have not love, we're nothing. Say, if I have not love, I'm nothing. So the title of my message for today is Got Fruit. Do you got fruit? And the back of this shirt says, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you got fruit? And the reason for that is that Jesus is a fruit inspector. How many could say Jesus is a fruit inspector? And he is looking at my tree. Say, he's looking at my tree. Okay, turn your Bible to Luke 13:6-9. And see, this is really significant because there's a message out there about grace. If you've seen the recent Sid Roth with Steve Hill, I encourage you to see it, to watch it, because on that he shared about his daughter was in Bible school, and the instructor got up and said, if you're a Christian, you can do anything that you want. You know, you can, you know, have sex out of marriage. You can, you know, do this, do that, do this. It's all covered with the blood. But what the instructor didn't teach is that we got to repent of our sins. It's covered with the blood when we give it, when we truly have repentance in our heart and we give it to the Lord and we walk with him. We've got to have fruit, you know, good fruit in our lives. And so if you turn your Bible again to Luke 13:6, starting with verse 6, Jesus told this parable. And if you look first at 13:3, he says, unless you repent, you too will perish. And then in verse 5, again he says, unless you repent, you too will perish. Well, you remember when Jesus first came and started his preaching ministry, what was one of the very first words that he spoke after Isaiah? He spoke Luke 4 and Isaiah 61, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Remember he had that message? But after that, he said what? Repent. His first message was what? Repent, for the kingdom of God has come. What did John the Baptist pray as he was preparing the way of the Lord? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he went on, John the Baptist, it's so cool when you get these little nuggets. Out of Isaiah 40, it says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make the crooked paths straight. John the Baptist memorized Isaiah 40. Isn't that so cool? And that's what he became. Isaiah 40 was a prophecy saying, prepare the way of the Lord. Well, who's coming back? Jesus. So what should our message be? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I prophesy over everyone in this place that we have a John the Baptist forerunner anointing. Because the saddest thing would be for us to go to heaven and not have our best friend go to heaven. Not to have a family member, someone near us that we knew the truth, but we didn't share that truth with them or pray for them. Like say they were in a scenario of bondage and that they had never repented of it. They just stayed in the sin, just stayed in it. And so, but we don't want to just take our friends. We want to take as many people to heaven with us as possible. And what is one of Satan's name that begins with a D? He's a deceiver. Do you think people don't willingly go to hell? Satan has deceived them. One of the best things to do is like, oh, you know, it's okay to stay in your sin and not turn away. So in the parable, he says in Luke 13:6, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he didn't find any. Now, what was the title of our message today? You got fruit on your tree. Look what he says to the man. He didn't have fruit. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now. See, he gives us time. I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone one more year. I'll dig around it, fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, cut it down. What does dig around it mean? Stir it up. It means break up the fallow ground. It means the ground around that tree is hard. It means hard-heartedness. Their heart has become hardened, and they're no longer conscious that they're sinning. And that's a very dangerous place to be. Hard-heartedness. That's why when you're dealing with people, we may see the what, God sees the why, but if they're not in a receiving mode, God says, don't cast your pearls before swine. So first of all, we pray Hosea 10:12. It's one of my new favorite verses because I've been praying it over my own life. It says, break up the fallow ground of your heart and seek the Lord until he comes and rains down righteousness on you. Because when he rains down his presence, hard hearts get softened. That's why at the revival, Pensacola revival, the spiritual rain was so strong. People had instant cleansings, instant deliverances, because it dealt with the issues of the heart. People got set free, delivered, and filled with the presence, with the power, with the anointing of God. But I challenge this church, and I challenge the churches, that where is the altar of repentance? Where is the place for sinners to come and get their lives right with God? Where's the spirit of conviction? It says, I believe it's 1 Thessalonians, that, or it might be 1 Timothy, but when they pray with the Holy Spirit and a spirit of conviction. When Charles Finney, they said when he preached, he had more people that once they got saved, they stay saved. They made a true repentance, a true conversion, because what did they focus their prayers on? Daniel Nash, his intercessor. He would pray 3 or 4 days before the meeting. He didn't attend the meetings. When the meetings were going on, he was praying, praying, praying. He'd pray 7-8 hours a day minimum. Take a couple guys in. They would go to a little rent house. And guess what they were praying? Convict them, God. Break the hardness of their hearts. Release the spirit of conviction, God. Release your presence, God. Convict them. Break the hardness of their hearts. They can't see. The heart is the birthing chamber. And once the heart becomes hardened in a certain area, the conscience can be seared. And then God could give them over to a reprobate mind in that area where they no longer feel any, they no longer have a sensitivity in their heart. And so when the fertilize it, what does the fertilize it mean? Huh? Interceding? Fertilizing, it's nurturement, nutrition. So you can't give the word of God to a hard-hearted person. First, you pray that the hardness of their hearts be softened. That's why Evan Roberts prayed, bend their hearts, God. Bend our hearts, God. Bend our hearts, God. Bend our hearts. That was his primary message when he first started preaching. God, bend our hearts. Bend those miners' hearts. Bend their hearts. Because if a person's heart, like in a sinner's heart, is hard like this, how is any seeds of the word of God going to get in there? Unless you plow the ground of their hearts, say, God, break their hearts. God, remove the blinders. God, send forth the spirit of truth. You plow the ground with what? And it was what Pastor Chuck said before, with intercession, like the house of Judah. Intercession is plowing, plowing, plowing. So there's a plowing period of time that goes forth for the people. In Hebrews 3:13, it says we can be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Proverbs 28:4, he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. Blessed is the man or woman who always fears the Lord. Isaiah 66:2. This is the one I esteem. He or she who is humble and contrite, which means broken of self. Self has to be dethroned, and Jesus has to be enthroned in our hearts. This is the one I esteem. He or she who's humble and contrite, broken of self and spirit, contrite in spirit, trembles at my word and reveres my commands. For Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are contrite, broken and crushed in spirit. Hard hearts must be broken first. Repentance and renouncing of sin, so the ground of the heart can receive the word. The rocks have to be removed first. The rocks, the hardness, the rocks, the hardness. Jeremiah 4:3 and 4 says, break up your unplowed ground of your heart and do not sow among thorns. So we learned in Luke 13, say Jesus is a fruit inspector. So if you see what kind of fruit is on your tree, is love on your tree, joy, peace? I brought some fruit with me today to kind of give you a visual. Hey, these are good fruits. Say good fruits. Peace, kindness, joy, mercy, compassion. Say good fruits. But there are some ungodly fruits, bad fruits. What would be the examples of bad fruits? Hate, jealousy, bitterness, pride, envy, doubt, unbelief or bad fruits, fear, idolatry, greed. Those are bad fruits. And if you turn your Bible over to Colossians 3, I hang out in that a lot because it says what Christians should do. Rules for holy living. I thought, well, I better really get this into my heart. I want to be a Christian. And the first thing he says, since you've been raised with Christ, Colossians 3:1, set your affections on things above, not on earthly things. And then he says, put to death, verse 5, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And then in verse 8, it says, but now you, which is me and you, must rid yourselves of all these things. Anger, say anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language, lying. Those are all bad fruits. Who's supposed to get rid of the bad fruits? We are. He says, now you, rid yourself of bad fruit. Say, I must rid myself of bad fruit. Now, Ana Mendez said a very interesting thing. And if we've got bad, really bad fruit, now, like I'll just use myself. I'm like really into fear, anxiety, or something like that. Now, that is an atmosphere of hell. That is not the atmosphere of heaven. So if you think of it that way, you're not manifesting the atmosphere of heaven. In heaven, I found what was so fascinating is that somebody shared that there is no covetousness in heaven. There's no jealousy. So whatever you've been given in heaven, you're so happy. There's no competition. And there's humbleness. I mean, David, when you read the word, like one of the highest exalted kings that was on earth in heaven. And what was it about David that made him one of the highest kings? He loved God. And what else? He repented. And what did he have on his tree? He had good fruit. What was he doing in that desert? He was loving the sheep. He got promoted because he loved God. He was a worshiper because in Psalm 22 says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And as you think in your heart, so you become. But in 2 Corinthians 3:17 or 18, it says, what you behold as looking into a glass, you become. But then what else was he doing in the desert? If a lion or a bear came against one of those sheep, he went after that lion and he went after that bear. He was bandaging the sheep. He was healing the sheep. He was taking care of the sheep. Ezekiel, I believe it's, I want to say Ezekiel 34 talks about good shepherds and bad shepherds. We're all shepherds. We're all leaders. Every single one of us are ministers. And he's looking for good fruit. And he's looking for the love of God. And that we will go out and heal the sick, cleanse those that are in bondages, and preach the favorable, acceptable year of the Lord. He's a God of hope. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God of forgiveness. If Jesus was to walk in this room, he would be the most gracious, kind, loving person we could have ever met. But he's strong. He's also a lion. He knows how to rule and he knows how to beat off to kill the snakes, to kill the bears, to kill the lions. So if we have bad fruit, if we have rotten fruit on our tree, how do we get rid of it? How do we get rid of rotten fruit? Repent? Okay, let me show you another way to get rid of rotten fruit. And we all have some fruit that's not as good. We may all have some of that kind of fruit. Luke 6:44 says, each tree is recognized by its own fruit. And verse 43, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. He goes on to say, people do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes off of briars, a bunch of thorns. The good man brings good things out of the good stored in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart does his mouth speak. So in Luke, it's both in Luke and in Mark, it talks about Jesus was walking along and he saw the fig tree. And the fig tree had no fruit on it, representing no good fruit on the tree. And what did Jesus do? He cursed the tree. So say this after me. Say, good fruits, good roots. Bad fruit, bad root. So to get rid of the bad fruit, curse the root. Curse the root. Do you notice that Jesus didn't curse people? Never do I see any place where he cursed people. In fact, he said the opposite in Luke 6. He said, bless those that curse you. Do good to those that despitefully use you. He was a blesser. But he said, if you've got bad fruit, curse the root. So, for example, if rejection is still hanging on your tree, you can several times during the day, God, I curse the root. First, you can repent. And we know the basis of sozo is repent, renounce, break, loose, and fill. So I just kind of summarized it. So in sozo, we repent. Lord, forgive me for staying rejected, being rejected. God, I renounce, I confess rejection as a sin when you've accepted me. You can break, if it was Pastor Chuck, you can break the power of the lies that you are, you know, unworthy. You can break any of the lies, but then you repent, you renounce. God, I renounce rejection, which means I turn away from it. I break the power that any legal agreements that demons have had to me of rejection. And I loose, in the name of Jesus, I loose rejection from me. Come out. And Lord, I ask that you fill me with the acceptance of the Father. Fill me, and then you renew your mind to the Word of God. If we inspect the fruit that's in our own life, and it's not good or loving, ask God's help to get rid of it. And one thing that that I noticed that's so simple that sometimes people need a reminder is that we are called to resist darkness. Say, I am called to resist darkness. So if you're feeling anxious, then that's not light. That's not the kingdom of God. Then start resisting it. And Jesus said in, I believe that it was Matthew 7:13, and that might not be the right verse, but Jesus said, reference, when he told Satan, when Satan was tempting him, he said, away from me. Say, away from me. Away from me. He resisted darkness. Then he said, it is written. And he spoke the word of God. And when Gary Wood, who died and had gone up to heaven, he was the one that had his vocal cords severed. And Jesus came into his room a couple months later, and he loved to sing, put his hands on him. And he healed his crushed, he had a crushed jawbone and esophagus from the car accident. And anyways, he was healed. And the nurse walked in, and he hadn't been able to talk. He was like 18 years old, and he said, good morning, Gary. He said, good morning. And she like almost passed out. He said, she dropped the tray, ran out of the room. And when you look at the x-ray, even though his crushed larynx was healed, it was still severed. And he could talk. He has the x-rays. And I have the video. Anyone want to see the video? I have the DVD he gave me. But when he was up in heaven, Jesus said, use this tool. It is written against the enemy. It is written. It is written. And so when we feel darkness from a person, we're to move in the opposite spirit. We're vessels of love. Now, what overcomes darkness? Light. And what is 1 Corinthians 13 say that we should do about a suffered wrong? Forgive, it says, pay no attention. Say, pay no attention to a suffered wrong. Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of God. And what is a child like? What's a child like? They forgive easily. They love easily. They believe easily. Say, like, I'm like a child. I forgive easily. I'm telling you, get rid of it right away. Say, I release resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness, and any suffered wrong. Because see, once you start nursing that grudge, now you've got darkness having an entrance, can enter into the heart, and it can turn into bitterness and unforgiveness. So our heart is a garden. And Proverbs 4 says, guard your heart with all what? Diligence, for out of it flows what? The issues of life. Now, when I shared about one of the downloads that the Lord gave me about love, he said, if you're not walking in joy and peace, you got to check your love walk. Because love is first, right? Love opens the door to joy and peace. Say, no love, no joy, and no peace. So just get back into love. Get back into the kingdom of God, okay? Because love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control are fruits of the kingdom, which are fruits of the Spirit and fruits of L-I-G-H-T, light. Because it says in 1 John, if you walk in hatred towards your brother, then you're in darkness. So we are to let it go right away. At the minute you feel like someone does something wrong to you, and I had a little incident happen last night. I was like, whoa. I was like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm ministering in the morning. I can't let this come in, you know, into my heart. I released it right away. I didn't let it settle. It's much easier to resist it when it's out here than when it gets inside of you. Jesus said to resist darkness. He says in James 4:7, to submit yourself to God, to resist the enemy, and he would do what? Flee. We're called to resist. Now the soul is what kind of can give us trouble. You know, the soul is what has to be renewed. Our soul in Romans 12:1 says, be ye renewed, in the spirit by transforming your mind through the word of God. Our soul is what has to be nurtured through the word of God. Our soul. We got to get it renewed. We got to get our mind thinking like God thinks with the word of God. If you turn your Bible to Matthew 5:43. Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor, and say neighbor means those near me. Does it physically mean a neighbor? Love those near me. Hate your enemies and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love those that are near you. Love your enemies. Pray for those that persecute you, that you may be what? Sons of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun, which is his goodness, to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Say, God is good to wicked people. Or he's good to those that may do evil. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not the tax collectors doing that? And if you only greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Even the pagans do that. Matthew 5:48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. What do you think that means? That's right. He's saying, be perfect in love. Be perfect, be mature in love. The circumstances that happen around you on the outside are to reveal to you and me what's on the inside. If something happens and it triggers something, your Father is just wanting to show you what's on the inside of you. Now, fruits are grown and gifts are developed. Never in the Word do I read where Jesus came to inspect the gifts. It says he came to inspect the fruit. God is more concerned with who we become than what we do. He's more concerned about the condition of our heart than how many messages we preach or, you know, how many good works that we do if we don't have the right heart. It's about the heart. Now, turn your Bible over to Luke 6. I always go here for forgiveness. Again, he's saying in Luke 6:32, if you love those who love you, What credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. But verse 35, love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And then what? Your reward will be great, and you will be called sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. The Lord is telling us, for those that have hurt us, we're to love our enemies. Say, I am to love those that hurt me. That's a higher way of thinking. We are to love those that have hurt us. And do you know that the word malice means having resentment towards somebody, having an ill will in your heart? Say this after me. Say, attitude is everything, because that's the soil of the heart. What helps me to forgive, like, you know, last night, was just to think about how many things God has forgiven me for. If you can't forgive, there could be some pride there. Pride hardens. But if you could stay broken before the Lord, if you're broken before the Lord, your heart's broken, the heart is broken, then God can quickly get into the soil of your heart and say, Sharon, remember this? Remember you did this? How about that? What about that? What about that? It's like, whoa. You know what I mean? Or he could say, love pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Say, love pays no attention to a suffered wrong. I want to encourage you to draw from the sap of the tree of life. Eat from the tree of life. The tree of death, the tree of good of evil, is going to be the tree of resentment, pride, anger, fear. Come over here and eat from this tree of childlikeness. Come taste the fruit of eating from the tree of eating some love. Eat from the word, the word, the word of God, because that tree, that love is going to produce life. To bless somebody, he said, to bless those that curse you. That's from the word eulogio, which means to speak well of, to bless, to thank, to call a benediction upon, to prosper, to bless, to praise. That's moving in the opposite spirit, because see, they're already in darkness. The person that if they've done something, you know, against you that was hateful or bad, there could be a little darkness there. It's not to say they're all dark, but they could be just a little darkness in one area. But if you just start saying, God, I forgive them. I bless them. I bless, I bless, I bless. I just see burst of light, the atmosphere of heaven being released around them. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of love. So I wanted to just turn this back over to Pastor Chuck because he might have a few things to add. And then if we have time at the end, maybe we could pray.
Cool. That was good stuff. You know, what you don't know is that this goes hand in hand with what I've kind of taught for the last week or two. So there's a lot of similarities. We got fruit. We got fruit. And one of the things that I wanted to bring out is that the grace message has been perverted a lot of times because people are teaching that you can just do whatever you want and it'll all be forgiven. Well, that's never been the case. Then what about Ananias and Sapphira? Okay, because they very much, just for lying, they lost their life. God and Paul weren't trying to promote something that just said, well, you just do what you want to do. Because grace comes so that we can do what the Father has intended. So we can fulfill the mission that the Father has put inside us. Grace comes, like it says in Titus 2, to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. To live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So those are the things that are the real, what grace is supposed to be doing for us and with us. That was good. That was very good because it began to show us and give us a little different perspective. And Hosea 10 and 12 was something that I was just actually looking and studying yesterday. So when you said that, I was like, cha-ching! Hallelujah.